Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls. Here in the corner where we craft our pain.
We've been talking about rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem. And so that's what we're doing. Sanballat and Tobiah and all of them were ridiculing and coming against Nehemiah and all his people and trying to trip him up and keep him from rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem. So the idea is, this is what the enemy does. It says that we're to not be ignorant of the devil's devices. It talks about that in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 2:11. It says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. There are three devices that he uses. That is ridicule, discouragement, and fear. To keep you from rebuilding your life. That's what he will use. Now, I went into this that verse I just shared with you in 2 Corinthians 11, and I broke it down. Now, listen to what it says. Let me tell you something. Has anybody ever experienced ridicule? People are going to laugh. People are going to say things about you. They're going to be saying things. Anytime you're doing something, ridicule is going to come. Am I making sense? Anytime you're doing anything of any significance, people are going to try to tear it down. People. The enemy always uses people. Now think about this. Opposition is not only evidence that God is blessing, but it is also an opportunity for us to grow. The difficulties that come with the work brought in Nehemiah chapter 4 brought out the best in Nehemiah and his people. Satan likes to use problems as weapons to destroy us, but God will use them as tools to build us. Charles Spurgeon said, God had a son without sin, but he never had a son without trials and opposition. In 2 Corinthians 2:11, it talks about, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now get a hold of this. This word advantage is, you see, look what it says. But it so happened, chapter 4, verse 1, but it so happened when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, that he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews, mocked the Jews. And he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of the rubbish stones that were burned? He was ridiculing them, getting them to question what they're doing. How many of you is always trying to question what you're doing? Constantly. That's because you're building something supernatural. You're building something you can't see. And listen, this is good. Advantage. Lest Satan should take advantage of us. That's what he wants to do. He wants to take advantage. This word advantage is the Greek word PLEONEKT, as in Tom, TEO. This is what it means. It means to outwit. It means to trick. It means to take advantage of someone through sinister and sneaky means. It's a compound word. And the first part of the word is P-L-E-O-N, and that means more. And the second part of the word is E-K-T-E-O. It's actually, the E-K is where we get echo, the word echo. And that means to have and to hold. And so that's what the enemy does. He's going to bring more and more mockery and ridicule to hold you in the place where you are. So you can't rebuild and you can't do what God has called you to do. A desire to have more, it depicts someone whose desire for something is so intense that he will take any actions required to obtain what he wants. Now, it says take advantage lest anyone be ignorant, right, of his devices. Now, get a hold of this word ignorant. I've never seen this before. This word ignorant is the Greek word A-G-N-O-E-O. And it means ignorance or lack of certain facts. That's why the enemy wants to keep you ignorant. He doesn't want you to have certain facts about what's really important in life. Now watch this. This word A-G-N-O-E-O depicts a person who has no understanding and is without a clue. As a result of this Greek, this A-G-N-O-E-O, their conclusions are faulty, erroneous, and misguided. Now listen, this is where the word agnostic comes from. So every time you hear the word agnostic, that's what it means. Ignorant. So when someone says, I'm agnostic, they're telling you, I'm ignorant. I've had a lot of people tell me, I'm just agnostic. I don't know what I believe. That's what it means. It means you don't know what you believe. And that's the enemy's job. He's trying to get you to a place where you don't know what you believe. It says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of those who do not know what they believe. He's blinded their minds, right? Age, cosmos, cosmetic. It has the appearance of something that it's not. There's something else underneath it, right? And that's what he does. He blinds you with that. But if you don't know, then you'll stay blind spiritually. Now listen, this is where we get the word agnostic. This is the official name used to describe individuals who claim they don't know what they believe. So when someone says they are agnostic, they're literally saying, I'm ignorant. Now get a hold of that. I think this is so interesting. Devices. Do you want to be ignorant of his devices? Now watch this. This word device is the word N-O-E, is where we get the word mind. Mind. So this word devices has to do with the mind. No, N-O-E, mata, nomada. It describes a mind that is scheming, calculating, convincing, devious, shrewd, sly, or clever. The enemy is in hopes of hindering your plans in your mind of having a healthy marriage, of having good health, of having good relationships, of having healthy finances, and keeping your life and family together. That's what he brings these devices for. And ridicule is one of the big ones that he uses. Shakespeare called ridicule paper bullets of the brain. But those bullets have slain many of warriors, Shakespeare said. Jesus was mocked. Paul was mocked. Everyone in the New Testament that did anything was mocked and laughed at. When the enemy rages on earth, the Bible says, now listen, Psalms 2:4, God laughs in heaven. God is laughing when he's trying to pull his mess. You see, when you're connected to God, you can laugh too at the enemy and all his mess. Because he doesn't have power. God has given you power over the enemy. You see that? He's given you power. to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. But now listen to me. You have to be under authority in order to have authority. If you're not under authority, you will have no authority. If you're not connected into a church and really connected and under authority, you have no authority for your children and your teenagers and your life when you need it. Am I making sense? Because that's the way God designed it. And you will have no authority over the enemy. He will kick your backside. That's the way God has raised it up. Now watch this. Sanballat and Tobiah laughed and ridiculed the workers before the work on the wall had begun. In verse 4, in chapter 4, verse 2, what are these feeble Jews doing? He's questioning. What are these feeble Jews doing? The word feeble means weak and miserable, withered. That's what feeble means. Here's the thing. The world system glories and puts such an emphasis on health, wealth, and power and what things look like. But God uses weak things. It says, the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise and not many mighty and not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise, and the weak things of this world to put to shame the things that are mighty, and the base things of this world God has chosen to bring to nothing, that no flesh should glory in his presence. That is the idea. So when we're weak, he becomes strong. You got to show up for the fight. If he's not going to do it all for you, when you show up, now he's going to show up. Remember, Goliath showed up, and what's the first thing? David showed up to fight Goliath. What's the first thing Goliath said? Started ridiculing. And the Bible says David ran to the fight. He ran. Let me at him. Folks, that's the way we ought to be. He says in 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. See, Tobiah and Sanballat, they didn't realize that God uses weak things, and God's strength is in weakness. In Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 2, now look at this. And he spoke before the brethren and the army of the Samaria, and they said, watch this, and said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they, continues on in this ridicule. Now listen, Sanballat and Tobiah were against the Jews, and they were really the opposition against God. They were coming against the people, but really their opposition was not against the people. It was against God. And you see, that's the way it is in our life. The opposition is really not against us, but it's against God in us. And I'm going to tell you what, God's going to win. Did you catch that? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. Discouragement. Discouragement is the second device the enemy uses. Discouragement means to deprive of confidence, hope, and spirit. Folks, we got to have confidence. Remember, confidence means with faith. You got to have faith. You got to be confident in who you are and what you believe. If you are going to rebuild, discouragement comes to keep you from rebuilding. Now, discouragement's taken away your courage. We need courage to do this, don't we? Joshua 1:7 says, only be strong. How much? Only be strong and what? Courageous. Only. No room for anything else. Only be strong and courageous. Discouragement comes to get you to shrink back and say you can't do it. You're not going to be able to rebuild. Look at you. Look what your past. Look at the ruin. Look at all that's broken down in your life. And you're going to try to rebuild? That's discouragement knocking on your door. Now watch this. It was discouragement that kept Israel from entering the promised land. at Kadesh Barnea in Numbers chapter 13. They said, we be not able. That's what they said. We're not able. Those are giants over there, and we're not able to do this. We're like grasshoppers. That's discouragement. This is what happens when we get our eyes off the Lord and start looking at ourselves and our problems. When we get our eyes off the Lord and we look at ourselves and our problems. See, the Bible says, fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes. The word fix means to look away from everything else and keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. The author and the finisher of your faith. He who has begun a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. Amen? Sanballat had openly declared that the work would stop, and it almost did. Compromisers, doubters, and complainers will always bring discouragement. Compromisers, doubters, and complainers. People who complain. You get around people and they start complaining. You know what that's going to do? The next thing you're going to do, it's going to discourage you. You start complaining about this and looking at this and complaining about this person and expecting all this out of this person and complaining about them. It's going to bring discouragement. And I'm going to tell you, when you're discouraged, you're not going to build anything. It's going to take your courage away from doing what God has called you to do. It takes courage to do this. People who complain and doubt and compromise, they usually lack faith in God's word. And something is wrong in their spiritual walk. When you hear people that are complaining all the time or doubting, they're doubting. They just doubt. I just don't know. You know what? They got their mind on themselves. This whole thing is about faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. We don't go by what we see. No matter what's going on, we're to keep our eyes on Jesus, right? No matter how bad the battle gets, we keep our eyes on Jesus, right? It's a faith walk. We don't look at the things that are seen, right? It's the supernatural. The mother of Jerusalem above, supernatural. That's what we're doing. We're building something you can't see. So that's why if we stay at it, it's going to manifest. Manifest means to bring from the unseen to the seen. It will show up in your life. You know, I got a call last week from the bank. I usually don't like to get calls from, you know, people. And they say, you know, well, they started talking about refinancing. I said, look, I don't have time. I don't want to refinance my house. I said, I only have a few years left to pay on my house. I don't have time. They said, no, we want to give you a lower interest rate. I said, I don't want to borrow any money. We want to give you a lower interest rate. And with the same time that you have on your house. We figured it up. It's going to save you $240. You don't want that? I said, you trying to give me a kick in the shins or what? That's what I said. Because usually people are up to something. But they took my interest rate and brought it down to 4%. I got the lowest you can get. They said, you're a preferred customer. They said, you know, we have all these stuff going on and all this. I said, you're a preferred customer. I said, are you sure? Yeah. They said, all you have to do is fill out this paperwork and it'll be done. And your payments will be $240-some less for the same time. I said, send them the papers. But I'm going to tell you something. Do you see that? That's God working right there. Come on now. I remember a time. You see, I've refinanced my house several times because I put my kids through college, both of them. I put my bad self through college. And I'll tell you what, through all that time, you can affect your credit. But my credit, you see this? That's God working. Things will show up in your life, and God will show up. And I'm going to tell you something. That's things that aren't seen. Because you have made a decision. You see that? I don't pay my things on late. You understand? Make a decision. You're going to do that. Now, Nehemiah's encouragement came from prayer and standing on the promises of God. What else did we say was a device? Ridicule, discouragement, and what? Fear. Fear will paralyze you. It will keep you from it will keep you from doing anything of any significance. Fear is ugly. Fear, remember, is the antithesis of faith. I like this saying. I don't know who said it. It was anonymous. But they said, fear is the dark room where negatives are developed. So that's what happens. When you're in fear and you're thinking negative, those things get developed and they show up in your life. That's why Job said, that's what I feared the most has come upon me. That's why don't see yourself in a nursing home and nobody coming to visit you. People have that fear. If you have that fear, that's what'll happen. Don't see that. See yourself getting older and, hey, folks, you loving them and being sweet and, you know. Get rid of these fears. Build your life. Do something better, right? We can make it better. I like what it says in Joshua 13:1. You're up in your years, but there's much land to possess. It doesn't matter how old you are, you can rebuild. It doesn't matter. Fear will keep you from doing what God calls you to do. Now listen, the Bible says God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Power, love, and of a sound mind. Power, love, and a sound mind. When a situation creates fear in our hearts, we got to remind ourselves of the goodness and greatness of God. Let's look at this. Verse 14. And I looked, chapter 4, verse 14, and I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid. He was commanding them, not be afraid. Don't get fearful. Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord. See, we got to remember our God and remember his word and what he said. Great and awesome. And what? And do what? Fight. Ooh. Fight. Fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. You're going to have to fight. Remember? We always talk about fighting. You're going to have to fight for your family, right? You're going to have to fight for your witness. You're going to have to fight for your finance. You're going to have to fight for all this rebuilding going on. You're going to have to draw a line in the sand and say, no, I'm in this to win it. I am going to fight the good fight. It's a good fight. See, the fight that God calls you to, it's about the good. You're fighting for the good. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life to which I was called. Eternal life is spiritual. So I'm going to fight the good fight. I'm not going to be afraid. Right? Remember, David ran. He wasn't afraid. When we don't have fear, we can overcome anything. Nothing's too big. David, I'm telling you what, he didn't play around with no fear. He said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? It talks about in Luke, it says that men's hearts will fail them because of fear and the expectation of the things that are coming on the earth. Everything they're looking around at. You see, we got to stop looking at the things around us because that creates fear. Come on, am I making sense? When we're looking around at the things, if that's all what we're looking at, it's going to bring fear. And it's going to bring defeat in your life. I like what it says in 2 Corinthians 4. It says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power is not of us, but it's of God. It's his power. And then it says, we're hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Therefore, we should not lose heart. For though our outward man is perishing, our inward man is being renewed day by day. Day by day. For we don't look at the things that are seen. but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For our light afflictions are but for a moment and are working for us a far more and exceeding and eternal weight in glory. Everything you're going through is working for your good. Everything, it's working for your good, your children's good, your grandchildren's good, the people who really mean something to you. It's working for your good. So we have nothing to be afraid of. It's only when we look at the things that are seen that fear comes. We cannot be afraid. David said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? And of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army should encamp against me, my heart will not fear. My heart will not fear. One thing I have desired, that I may seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." Remember the word house? The family of God. "That I may dwell in the family of God all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. And now my head shall be lifted up high above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer up sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, have mercy on me and answer me. For when you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said, 'Lord, your face I will seek.' Do not hide your face from me, O God, nor turn your servant away in anger, for you have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation, for you are my help. For false witnesses have risen against me, and such breathe out violence. And such breathe out violence." Folks, people all around are going to be ridiculing and saying things, but you got to have a made up mind. And then I like what David said at the end of that. He said, "I would have lost heart if I could not see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Folks, we got to get our eyes on him and keep building, right? Keep building. Don't let anything stop you. Are you with me today? I tell you what, I'm excited. Isn't this something that we're rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem? And then there's the mother of us all, Jerusalem, above. I think that's too awesome. This is what's going on. This is why you're going through everything you're going through. And it's worth every bit of it. Are you seeing this? Are you going to wake up and complain tomorrow? Don't wake up and complain. And don't wake up and say this one isn't doing this one and this one. See the good. Right? Speak life over people. And that frees you up to love them and give them grace. And your head's up there. Like David said, my head's above all those things that try to get you negative. You see this? We have to fight. You're going to have to fight, folks. You're going to have to fight to rebuild your life. You're going to have to fight for what's really important in your life. Are you excited? I want you to pray for us when we go to India. Because you see, you know what? You know what you guys are doing? You're fighting for those orphans over there. Just by being connected here, you're in the fight for them. They can't fight for themselves. Their parents have abandoned them. Some of them are in human trafficking and abused sexually and really, I mean, really abused. But they're rescuing them.
Only the truth and
bringing them into an orphanage, like an
can
oasis.
Save us now.
That's what the kingdom's all about, advancing and increasing. Aren't you glad?
Only the truth and
truthfulness.
Can save.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Our church office and 7 p.m. Saturday evening worship services are held at 340 West Russell Road. Our 10:30 a.m. Sunday service is held at Christian Academy School, located at 2151 West Russell Road. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at www.russellroadchurch.com. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.